verses 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, said, Be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as yet suppose." Hallelujah. "Seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He said, Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." Hallelujah. "He said, Unto my servant and on my handmaid will I pour out in those days out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Glory to God. So, we said yesterday night that Peter was explaining an experience. Something just happened to them in chapter 2 from verses 1 down to 7. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. It says, and they came, right? A rushing mighty wind. Glory to God. And it filled the whole house. He said, a sound from heaven first, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole place where they were sitting. And there appeared to them there appeared unto them tongues like as of fire, and sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Now, I have said this, and I'm going to say it again. Many times we try to reduce this thing. Amen. We try to reduce this to just mere the tongues there. No, they had an experience. Hallelujah. Don't reduce it to just, it was just symbolic of, no. Don't reduce it. They had an experience. They had a rushing mighty wind. Glory to God. Hope you're hearing me. They had the rushing mighty wind. Glory, glory, glory. Now, Peter was explaining that experience, and then he used the word, "This is that." Hallelujah. Now, we said when he used the word, "This is that," it means he was reading from scriptures. So that phrase, "This is that," that was spoken by the prophet, is to take them back to scriptures. So Peter also teach their experience, and he went back to Joel. So that is spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. By the prophet Joel. Now he starts off with Joel, but he didn't end with Joel. Hallelujah. So Joel is like a pilot text. Joel is like a pilot text that will not lead to other texts. Hallelujah. He started off with Joel. It says, "It shall come to pass in the last days." Glory to God. Hallelujah. "It shall come to pass." So, he started off from Joel. Now, we said, Peter could explain like this because he has been taught. He's teaching good because he's a good student. Now, I said a good student is a good teacher. Will end up being a good teacher. Who's a good student? One who pays attention when the word is taught. He or she has his writing pen. He takes down. Glory to God. Because as we will see shortly, what Peter said was what Jesus had taught them. Glory to God. What Jesus had taught them. So Peter will go back to the scriptures just like Jesus. Now Jesus is God. Jesus is not a look-alike God. Jesus is God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were created by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. He said in Him is light, and the life is the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness comprehended not. Hallelujah. If you read down, he says, there was a man who was sent to bear witness of the light. He said, he's not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. But this is the light. The light that every man that comes into the world. Say he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own, received him not. And I say, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God. He said, even to them that believe on his name. Say, who were born. Hallelujah. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of the man, I mean, not of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. He now says, and that word, verses 14, John 1, 14, say that word that is God, that word that is God, is it became flesh. Hallelujah. And tabernacled among them. That word that is God. So Jesus is not a look like God. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. I told you that. Jesus is God. Glory, glory, glory. They asked him, show us the way and it will suffice. And he said, I am the way. Now when you use that word, I am, we say that word, I am, is a name for God in the Old Testament book. So he's telling them that he is the God of Exodus. Hallelujah. I am. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I am the way. He uses that for himself. Ego am I. I am. The name reserved for God. In John chapter 8, they met him. He told them, said, before Abraham was, I am. Glory to God. Glory to God. Before then, he had told them that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And they laughed at him and said, how old are you? And he said, Abraham rejoiced to see your day. Then he now said to them, before Abraham was, I am. Those were, he was writing to scholars. They understood what it meant by before Abraham was, I am. What it means is, he's telling them, I am the God of Abraham. You know, I hear some people say, Jesus never said he's God. Who told you that? He said it all true, but you weren't listening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You weren't listening. He said, before Abraham was, I am the carved stone. Why would the Jewish scholars, why would the scholars pick up stones when he said, before Abraham was, I am? They will pick up stones because he's saying he is the God of Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What was this charge? What was the charge against Jesus? They said, for your good works, we are not stoning you. But because thou, being a man, right, say you are God. Amen? They couldn't just comprehend it, that God was living amongst men. Glory to God. Now Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Now, in Luke 24, verse 25, Jesus appeared to his disciples, two of them on their way to Emmaus. Now, they were having this about Jesus, not knowing that Jesus was with them. Cleopas and his friend, they were having a gist about Jesus. And Jesus asked them, what thing are you guys having? What discussion are you guys having? That is from verses 9, from verses 19 into 20 and 21. Luke 24, quickly. Let's quickly get to Luke 24. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, verse 19, say, what things are you talking about? And they say, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deeds and in words before God and all the people. So they gave Jesus gist about Jesus without knowing that Jesus was with them. That the person they were talking to is Jesus. Hallelujah. Then Jesus heard them in verse 25 and now says, oh, fools, and slow hard to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory? He said, ought not the Christ, hallelujah, to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. He now said, beginning at Moses. Now, Jesus was about to explain to them what has happened to him. Hallelujah. What was the conversation about? His suffering. Did you see that? Now, he was to explain to them. He says, ought not the Christ to suffer this and enter into his glory. He now said, beginning at Moses. Look at how Jesus explained it. Jesus was not giving them a gist. You know, Jesus could have just said, oh, let me gist you, I'm Jesus. Just chill, you know? Chill, you know? I went to hell and I beat the devil. You know, you could have just said, I'm Jesus, I've resurrected, right? But no. What did he do? He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Expound them means he explained it. Amen. He gave meanings to Moses and the prophets. Hallelujah. He explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, that is what Jesus did. Jesus was to talk about himself, and he explained it from scriptures, all through scriptures. Hope you're following me. He explained it all through scriptures. Glory to God. Look at verses 44. Again, he said, said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. Now, remember, I've taught you in church that law of Moses is not legalism. Law of Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Amen. That law is called law of Moses. Moses' first five books is called the law of Moses. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I hear the word law of Moses. I told you, nomos mosaos, it means the word nomos there is where you have the Hebrew word Torah used for a doctrine. It's called the doctrine of Moses. So, yeah, law of Moses there is used for the doctrine of Moses. The doctrine of Moses. We're going to see more of this as we get into 31st night. I told you, we're going to be having a teaching seminar 31st night. That will be our New Year. How do they call it? Wash night, have it? Crossover, yeah, crossover. But I don't know what kind of crossover is that. Where you'll be hearing the word from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. We'll cross over. You know, that's crossover and above and beyond. This is 7 p.m. Amen. I told you I'm going to teach you on the law of Moses. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to have a long time together. 7 p.m. Don't forget that. Glory to God. So the law of Moses is actually the doctrine of Moses. The doctrine of Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now watch what he said to them. He said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. So that means when Jesus, before his death, every time he spoke to them, every time he taught, they wasn't teaching from his head. He was teaching from scripture. Jesus had the Bible. And Jesus' Bible is Genesis to Malachi. Not saying Genesis to Malachi, there are people who say it's gone, it's over. No, it's not over. Jesus read from there. John 5:39. He was speaking to the Father. He said, you search the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. He said, but these are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life. Hallelujah. In verses 43, he now said, you don't think I've come to condemn you. He said, there's one who condemns you. He said, Moses, in whom you trust. Say, if you believe Moses, verse 45. He said, if you believe Moses, you will believe me. For he wrote of me. Jesus wasn't fighting Moses. Jesus wasn't contradicting Moses. Say, if you believe Moses, you will believe me. For Moses wrote of me. Hallelujah. He said, but if you don't believe Moses' writings, how will you believe my words? That means if you don't believe Moses, you can't believe Jesus. Because Jesus taught from Moses. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. In Matthew 5, from verse 1, Jesus began to teach. When people call the Beatitude, when Jesus began to teach, all what he taught was from the scriptures. All what he taught. Matthew 5. When he said, now look at verses 37. That's it, 37? Okay, 38. He says, say you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now this is Moses, right? Moses said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Say, hey. Moses said, we take your eye, remove another eye. Amen. Well, is there somebody remove your eye? Right? Jesus said, I mean, Moses said, if they remove your eye, you remove the person's eye. An eye for an eye. No. That word, an eye for an eye, is an idiom in their world. Right? Which means you take the same measure of what someone has taken from you. That's just it. Say a tooth for a tooth. That means somebody blow one teeth. You should blow your own back. But Jesus now said, watch it. Now, Jesus now said, but I said to you, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on one cheek, turn the other. Then, Jesus said, if they slap you here, you turn the other cheek, right? But Moses said, take your own back. Is that not it? It's because you did not read well. Moses didn't say, take your own back. I've taught you that, right? What Jesus is saying is just interpreting Moses to his world. When he says an eye for an eye, I've watched a movie like that where they titled an eye for an eye, Suara. Yes. Amen. Suara and Tony Tomato. If you don't know it, don't worry. Amen. An eye for an eye. Take back your own. Do me, I do you. God no go vest. Is that not it? But that's not what Moses is saying. You have to understand, I taught you that you have to understand first what was sustainable in their world. What will have their origin or their meaning in their world? Now, what was in Moses' world? I've taught you that. Now, in Moses' world, they were in a brutal system where if you take someone's pen, for example, you know, someone told me that one of the things that is not accounted as stealing in the bank is carrying people's pen. Do I have a witness in the house? Borrow me your pen, let me feel my teller. And the next thing, you remember at home that, hey, I carry this guy's pen. That's one of the things that is not considered as stealing. Amen. But let's go ahead. So, by Moses' word, if I take her pen, I'm going to be killed. That's Moses' word. Amen. Death sentence. Somebody steals someone's goat. Die. Death. So Moses now said no. Rather than the person dying, the person takes your goat. No, rather than killing the person. Right? Rather than killing the person, what about if he gives you back your goat? And as long as I have my goat, his death doesn't mean anything to me, right? Okay. So if he supplies you back your goat, will you be fine? Say, yes, I'll be fine. Okay. Now, if somebody takes your goat, let the person give you back your goat. Even if he takes it and kills it, he will go and buy another goat for you and return it back. Will you be fine? I'll be okay. That is an eye for an eye. Did you see that? Right? So rather than killing the person restores you back a goat. Is that not love? Is that not love? The person that was supposed to be dead has now restored back with a goat. Is that not love? Now that is an eye for an eye. So now what was the intention of Moses saying an eye for an eye? Love. Did you see that? Right? Did you see that? Love was the intention. So Jesus reached the intention of Moses that it's supposed to be love. Now in Jesus' world, right? In Jesus' world, he's now interpreting it. He will now say, okay, what is now love in Jesus' world? Instead of restoring back, why not just walk away? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 46. That's what he says. So if ye love them, which love you? Did you see that? So the intention of Jesus' writing there was love. So he was reading Moses, not contradicting Moses, but he was interpreting Moses to his world. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? What was he doing? He was interpreting Moses to his world. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, look at chapter 7, verses 28. When Jesus was done teaching. Where are the ushers in this service? Where are the ushers? Who is the usher in charge of the service? Usher, you are carrying a baby. Are you there? I said, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended his saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Did you see that? The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority, not as the scribe. Did you see that? So that means what Jesus had done to Moses was to give proper interpretation to Moses. Hope you are with me. What has he done to Moses? He has given proper interpretation to Moses. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Jesus wasn't contradicting Moses. So, let's see a few things. So, yesterday we said, Peter was explaining just like Jesus had taught them. From where? From the scriptures. He went from Joel. Right? Right? Hallelujah. He went from Joel. Look at that Acts of Apostles chapter 2 again. Now, when he says verses 17, let's see verse 17 very well. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days. Now,
Peter was explaining their experience, and he said it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, in the last two conventions, I've taught you what last days is, right? Last days is not end of the world. You see, last days, end of the world. The world is coming to an end. Like you are the referee officiating the end. The world is coming to an end, it's last days. Peter wasn't referring to last days as the end of the world. He was referring to what has happened to them. Now he's explaining, this is what has happened. And he calls it in the last days. So last days was in Peter's world. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. So that means if Peter was calling what was happening in his world last days, it therefore means we have to pay attention to that world called last days. Amen. Let's look at a few things. The word last days, right? The word last day is from the Greek word eschatos. Eschatos. Eschatos is not used for the end. No, it's used for a fulfillment. Amen. It's used for what? A fulfillment. Eschatos. At last. When you said at last. So what Peter is saying, it shall come to pass at last. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And that's what has happened. At last. That's the word eschatos, not end of the world. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Now, let's see where he's reading from. Let's see how Joel will use that word. In Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Quickly. Let's rush quickly to Joel. Prophet Joel. Quick. And let's read it together. Joel 2, verses 23. In the next section, we'll start reading from verses 1. Right? There are some things we need to see. Verse 28, sorry. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward what Peter called last days was what Joel called afterwards. Did that? Stop. So, that means what Peter is saying, and he calls last days, he's trying to let you know that what Joel has spoken about has come to pass. Did you see that? Can you see that? It has come to pass. It shall come to pass afterwards. Joel 2, 28. That I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. The same thing, afterwards. Now that word afterwards is from the Hebrew word akar. A-C-H-E-R. Akar. Now that word is to show the fulfillment. It's to show the fulfillment. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass afterwards. Afterwards, what proceeds after in an event? That means an event has happened. Right? In verses 1, chapter 2, verse 1, he calls it the day of the Lord. So that means this event that will happen afterwards will happen afterwards in the day of the Lord. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. We'll see all that in the next section. Glory to God. Now that word akar is from another word, acharit. A-C-H-A-R-I-Y-T-H. A-C-H-A-R-Y-T-H. Acharit. Now that word is used for last days or later days. Later days or last days. It's not used for end time. In Genesis 49, I'll show you something. In Genesis 49, verse 1. Genesis, oh, how many years ago is Genesis? And Genesis 49. Now, so you see the meaning of the word last days. And then you mind how you use it today. You don't use it anyhow. Okay, are you there? And Jacob called unto his sons and said, and gathered them, and said, gather yourself together that I may tell you the things that shall befall you when? Genesis, oh. Can you see Genesis? You have seen last days. In the last days. So that means he's telling them, let me tell you what will happen afterwards in the later time. Right? Right? In the fulfillment. Is that it? Glory to God. It was not end of the world. But the word there, last days in Genesis 49 verse 1, is used for a full circle. A full circle. A fulfillment. Hallelujah. A fulfillment. Glory to God. Therefore, we said, when Joel used the word
afterwards, it shall come to pass afterwards there, with the word akar, it deals with a series of events that will take place in the fulfillment. Now, the word afterward deals with a series of events. We're going to see those series of events in the coming session. A series of events that will take place in the fulfillment. And what was the fulfillment? Joel 2:1, as I said earlier, the day of the Lord. We'll see that. Hallelujah. So therefore, what Joel is saying, that in the day of the Lord, an activity you will find is what? The pouring out of his spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's stay a bit in that word last days, because it's good to understand. Since everybody was reading from Genesis down to Malachi and Moses, right? Did we say that? Did we say that? Jesus said, begin at Moses, Akeimos house. Meaning Moses is the origin of words in scripture. It therefore means we have to go back to Moses to see how words are used. So when you hear the word last days is Moses' word. Everybody look up here. Last days is in Moses' language. We're just seeing it in Genesis 49. It's Moses' language. In Genesis chapter 1, what was God's plan? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I told you, Moses wasn't writing science. Amen. He wasn't writing science. Moses was writing the oracles of God. So he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth is used for what? The union of God and man. Heaven is used for the supernatural. Hallelujah. And the earth is used for the natural. So the heaven and the earth mean God and man in the same place. Did you see that? Amen. So he shows you chapter 1, verse 2. That said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. He shows you the earth without the heaven. God's plan in Genesis 1:1 is God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth together. But where you now find the earth without the heaven is darkness, empty and void. Tohua bohu, confusion. He said, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. And I told you that word, let there be light, is not let there be light. No, the word there is higher all. It means I am light. God is saying there, I am light. Hallelujah. God calls himself as the solution towards the earth without the heaven. Did you see that? Automatically, God is saying he is the heaven. What man needs is him. Hallelujah. I am light. So when Jesus too said, I am the light of the world, John 8:12, they knew that he was talking about the fact that he is the God of Genesis chapter 1. I am, he used the same word. I am the light of the world. I am light, just as God said. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. I am light. Glory to God. Hope you're following me here. Hope you're following me here. Glory to God. So, what is God's plan in Genesis 1? Heaven and the earth. That's God's plan. Heaven and the earth. Heaven and the earth. God wants to be with man. Heavens and the earth. Then, watch it. Then he began to, then Moses began to show us what God did. Right? He created this and that and that. Now, take note. I told you, it's not science. It's not fiction. It's not God. No. Moses was using a known history to talk to them about what God. I've taught you that. Right? I've taught you that. So we'll have that in a series of teachings. So you get that. Amen. But look at chapter 2, verse 1. And I said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Now, that word finished there means we're completed. Hallelujah. We're completed. And the host of them. The host of them. Hallelujah. To make you know that what he was writing about wasn't science. He said the host of them. Hallelujah. And on the seventh day, last day, is that last day? Is that last day? That's the seventh day, the last day. He said that was when God finished everything. Look at what he done did. He said, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the seventh day, God rested. God ended his work and he entered into his work. That's what it means. He entered into his work. Hallelujah. He rested on his seventh day, on the seventh day. Glory to God. So what happened on the seventh day? Genesis 1:1 has been fulfilled. the heavens and the earth. Did you see that? So it's called the last day, the seventh day, not the end of the world. Did you see how Moses used it too? Is it end of the world? But a new beginning. Hallelujah. A fulfillment of God's heaven and earth. God has fulfilled his heaven and the earth. And on the last day, he rested. He entered into it. That's the word to rest. He entered into his heaven and the earth. What he has made. Glory to God. So the last day is not used for the end, but it's used for a new beginning. It's used for a fulfillment. Hallelujah. A fulfillment. A restart. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Let's get back to a few things again, and then we'll come back to what we're looking at. Let's get back to how Jesus taught them about this event. So we've seen that this event will take place in the last day, right? And the last day is a fulfillment, right? A fulfillment, which Joel has said is called the Lord's Day, right? Right? The Lord's Day. And Jesus spoke about the Lord's Day as what the day of his what? Death, burial, and resurrection. So that means this event will take place in his resurrection. Is that it? Is that it? Glory to God. Now let's see a few things. How Jesus taught that about this event. Luke 24, we were here yesterday, verse 49. He says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Until ye be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's say a few things. First of all, when Jesus resurrected, right, he appeared to his disciples. How many days did he teach them? 40 days, right? Acts 1, verse 1. He taught them 40 days. So it was with them 40 days. It was with them how many days? 40 days. He taught them 40 days. Now, watch this. He taught them 40 days. Now, verse 49 was still part of the teaching. Remember, I told you from verse 44, he was teaching them. So, now what they had there is a summary of what he taught them. So, verse 49, when he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." It was a teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was a teaching. So, the teaching continued. That teaching continued. Now, when he told them, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father," they knew what he was talking about because that's what he's teaching them. Do you understand me? That's what he's teaching them. Now, when he told them, "Tarry," they knew tarry was a teaching. So today, yeah, just say tarry, I think it was a teaching. Amen. Because of my Father, they knew what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he said tarry, he was a teaching from Scripture. Remember, I told you that. They must have seen it. He must have shown them those experiences from Scripture. I say, "See, you have the same thing too upon you." Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1, verse 5, from verse 4 into 5, Acts of Apostles from verse 4 into 5, it says, "And being assembled together," okay, verse 5, let's watch down to verse 5. It says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Hallelujah. It's the same event. And Jesus is saying it will happen shortly. Amen. He said, not many days. Not many days. Glory to God. Not many days. Verse 8, the same event, he said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Ye shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, they shall be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means when he told them not many days, the disciples were waiting for something. Right? Because they knew that something would happen in a few days. Hallelujah. And what they were waiting for was the Spirit upon, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So therefore, it didn't get to them by surprise. They knew that it's going to happen on the Pentecost day. I said, how did they know? I'm going to show you. They knew it was going to happen on the Pentecost day. So they took it upon them.
They were waiting for Pentecost to come, for them to take it upon them. Because it will be a fulfillment of scriptures. Hallelujah. We'll get there. Now, it doesn't mean today we are going to wait the Pentecost day before we speak in tongues. No. Jesus was doing something. In Luke 24, where we read, verse 44, he says, that what I talk to you while I was here with you, that all things must be fulfilled. So, when you use that word must be fulfilled there, it means Jesus was fulfilling things, right? In his resurrection, he was going to fulfill. And part of what he was going to fulfill were the feast of the Jews. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If, let's say, and why will he fulfill the feast of the Jews? Well, Moses gave them those feasts to point to God's oracles. So because Jesus is God, was going to fulfill what Moses has given to them. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Was going to fulfill them. Their festivals was going to fulfill them. Glory to God. So because Jesus was going to fulfill them, they were going to wait till Pentecost. Now, it's not meaning that when you get born again, you don't have to wait for 50 days to receive, no, to speak in tongues, no. But that was supposed to happen. Right? Because Jesus was fulfilling their feast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see something. In John chapter 7. John 7. Now this is Jesus in one of their feasts. That is the Feast of the Tabernacles. I taught this similar thing in the teaching, tongues yesterday, today, and forever. You can get that teaching. Hallelujah. We did some details. We went into some details. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Okay. Sorry, so shaking. Okay. John 7, are you there? 37. 37. Are you there? It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. For he that believeth, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on, what's the meaning of that? So rivers of living water. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He then says in verse 7, for this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is Jesus doing? In their feast, that was actually the Feast of Tabernacles. Right? So Jesus stood up. So Jesus had a feast with them. Amen? And then he said, if any man thirsts, they were drinking. He said, let him come to me and drink. You see that? Now says, and the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was talking about his own belly, not your belly. Amen. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. As he said that, the implication of that is the essence of your feast points to me. That's what he was telling them. Hallelujah. You see that? The essence of their feast. Their feasts were shadows to point to him. They said, the essence of your feast is me. It points to me. Rather than drinking and drinking saw. Right? Your feast is pointing to me. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. It's pointing to me. It's pointing to me. Glory, glory, glory. For example, Passover. Yeah, Passover, right? Passover is a feast of the Jews. Passover. Now, the origin of Passover is Exodus. Gracias.
4:5. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. It says about the Passover. It says, a name of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. And if ye keep, and ye shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So they shall keep it in the evening. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, is it, now let's go ahead. Now it says,
and other, on the upper top part of the house, the dwelling there shall be, and they shall eat the flesh of, they shall eat the flesh in that night. Don't live with fire, we don't live with and the winter there, and they shall be. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll read. Verse 10, and they shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning shall be burnt with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes, and the shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. For it is what?
Lord,
it is what?
Lord,
it is the Lord's Passover. What is it? And that is the Lord's Passover. So they had a feast of Passover. Now to show. Now this was given to them by Moses, right? Look at verse 21, so that we understand that, verse 21. It says, and Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go out and take you a lamb according to your family and kill you the Passover. Can you see that? So what is called the Passover? The lamb. So the lamb is the Passover. Do you see that? It's a feast where the lamb is called the Passover. Look at 27. Verse 27. Are you there? He says, and ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, and the spoiled the Egyptians, and delivered our houses, and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. So the Passover was a feast to show God's deliverance from them. You see that? Was a feast to show us God's deliverance from death. God delivered them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God stopped death from death. Hallelujah. God delivered. Glory to God. Are you still with me here? Are you sure you are here with me? Yeah, yes, say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word Passover is used for the lamb that was killed to show deliverance from death, right? Right? In Deuteronomy 6, from Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. What is it? Are you there? From verse 1. So observe the wounds of our deeds. Please keep what I'm saying now. I will come back to it at the end of this. In the tomb. They will not the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth from the brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. You see that? Hallelujah. Now what we read in Exodus chapter 12 is happened on which day in the month of Abib? On the 15th day. What are you following? Don't eat. 14 days, then on the 15th day is the Lord's Passover. Right? Now take note of this. Now, he says, the Lord brought thee out of the land of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover to the Lord thy God, of the flock and of the head in the place, whom the Lord shall choose the place, where he says, stay there. And thou shalt eat the unleavened bread, within 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Yea, even the bread. Even the bread of affliction. For thou comest forth out of the land of Egypt in thee, that thou mayest remember the days when thou comest out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. Did you see that? So the Passover was to show God's deliverance, not just from death, but from Egypt. Did you see that? It happened in the day, in the month of Abib, the 15th day. Now, don't miss it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So it's a show of deliverance, right? In Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Are you Leviticus 23? Verse 5. It says, in the 14th day of the fourth month, as the Hebrews is the Lord's Passover. Can you see that there?
No.
That's the author. The fourth. Now, which day? The 14th of the fourth month, as Hebrews is the Lord's Passover. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of your living bread. So the Passover and then the feast of the living bread. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. So the feast of the Passover is in the month of Abib, the fourth month. Right? So that means, watch this. The Passover is at the beginning. The Passover is to show a beginning. Okay, follow it. A beginning. A new beginning. Please write it down somewhere. Then Jesus spoke about the Passover. In Matthew 22.
Passover Jesus is having.
Okay, following that. It wasn't the first Passover that Jesus happened with his people. He didn't have a Passover. But he told the one in Matthew 26 to die. Hope you're following that. He told it. He told it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the question is, why did he choose to die during this Passover? When he was set free? Why did he choose this? Glory to God. Why would he choose this one to die? Let's hear from you. A few things. Luke chapter 4. Now, he told this one to die. Nobody coming to the Amen. Now, he chose this one to die for a reason. Now, look at Luke 4, verse 23. Verse 19, or 18, sorry. 18. He chose it because it was in the Jubilee year. It was in the Jubilee year. Hallelujah. It was in the Jubilee year. That was why he chose it. The Jubilee. Now, Jubilee is another feast of the Jews. Now, remember, who is supposed to die? I mean, what's supposed to happen in Passover? The lamb for the king, right? That's why when Paul is to write about the Passover, he will say, we know that Christ is our Passover. Do you see that? Not the feast, but the what? The lamb. Do you see that? So, during Passover, the lamb is to be killed. It's called the Passover too. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I need you to take note of that. Now, hear this again. Now, they also have another feast called the Feast of Jubilee. Jubilee. Now, Jesus spoke about it in verses 18. Luke 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken heart and to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that word, the acceptable year of the Lord, is another name that the Jubilee is called. The year of the feast of Jubilee is called. Hallelujah. The acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now what happens in Jubilee year? Now let's see a few things about Jubilee. Leviticus 25. Let's rush to Leviticus 25. Everybody make sure you're there. Leviticus 25. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
From verses 8. Are you with me? It says, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 Sabbaths of years. Listen. 7 Sabbaths of years. 7 times 7 years. That is how many years? 49. You see that? How many years? 49 years. Watch this. Now it says, it shall be 49 years, right? Verse 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. Hallelujah. Throughout all the land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be Jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall turn every man unto his family. Did you see that? So the Jubilee year is the 50th year. What would happen in the year of Jubilee? You will return back every captive. Amen. Let's say someone has slaves that is supposed to serve him for 100 years. If the father dies, the children will continue. They are slaves. But when the Jubilee year comes, you are no longer a slave. Amen. So whether you are a slave to Jubilee year or you die before Jubilee year. But if it is in the Jubilee year and you are in Israel, you will be set free. You go home. If someone is owing him money in the year of Jubilee, the debt is broken up. Is it that? That's Jubilee year. In the Jubilee year, everything returns back to us as it was. Debt is cancelled. Hallelujah.
Debt is cancelled. Bills are paid. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 14. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of years of the fruit, he shall sell unto thee. Hallelujah. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. According to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. According to the numbers of the years of the fruit, doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another. For thou shalt fear the Lord God, thy God, for I am the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, in Jubilee, if somebody is in debt, he goes up. In Jubilee. Glory to God. In Jubilee, it goes up. You don't have any debt to your name again. In Jubilee. Hope you're following me. In Jubilee year. Watch it. Can you see why Jesus had to die on the Jubilee year? Glory to God. He had to die on the Jubilee year when he was 33. Amen. He had to die. He's not another 50 years again. You see that? He had to choose after that because that was Jubilee year. And the Jubilee year to show. Remember, he's to fulfill the feast of the Jews, right? To show that slaves are set free, he's going to die. So in his death, he has fulfilled it. Glory to God. Men who are bound or pressed to the devil have been set free. Hallelujah! Man who has been, who all their life is in darkness have been set free. So to show you that he's actually going to set men free from the bondage of Satan, he died in the Jubilee. In the Passover, in the Jubilee. Did you see that? Did you see that? And he was set free. That was why he died. He chose that to die. Hallelujah. He chose that to die. Hope you're following that. Okay. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Do you get what I'm teaching you? Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Okay, let's go ahead a bit. Sit down and listen. Leave. Don't want to be. Amen. Amen. So, when is now supposed to be Pentecost? Now, do you understand why he died in Jubilee? Right?
Why shouldn't it have been the year before Jubilee? Because he has having Passover. And he should be able to die. Can you not see this? Why was Jubilee? Can you see it now? Amen. Now, Pentecost is now 50 days after Passover. Let me show you the feast of Pentecost.
It's called, the feast of Pentecost is also called the feast of weeks. The feast of what? Of what? Weeks. Hope you can hear me from the back. Okay. The feast of weeks. Leviticus chapter 23. Just two chapters before where we were. 23, from verse 15. The year shall count unto thee from the morrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that they brought the sheep of the wave offering,
seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Seven Sabbaths. That's seven Sabbaths. Sabbath is once a week. Seven Sabbaths is what? 49 weeks. Can you see? Can you see? Seven Sabbaths, 49 weeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, even unto the morrow, after the seventh Sabbath, shall be the 50th day. So, 49 weeks, right? 49 days, sorry, I said 49 weeks. 49 days, seventh Sabbath, 49 days, right? Then the next day is the 50th, right? Hallelujah. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So, what will you do on the Pentecost day? You offer a new meat offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now put that side by side with Acts 1:5. When it says, not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Let's count it. Why did Jesus say not many days? Jesus died. So the day Jesus died is Passover, right? The Passover was slain. So he resurrected 3 days after, right? He taught them 40 days. How many days together? 43. Pentecost is 50th day after his death. Right? So how many days is remaining? 7 days. Not many days then. Can you see that? Can you see that? Not many days then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus was talking about what? The Pentecost. Not many days then. Will be the Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on the Pentecost, you are offering to the Lord. Amen. 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 So let's see what was said about the Pentecost. We are still in Leviticus 23. So we stopped at verse 16, right? Let's see verse 17. It says, you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenths deal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked and with leaven. He said, they are the first fruit unto the Lord. What is? What? They are what? First fruit unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation. Oh, so sorry. Verse 17. He said, they are the first fruit unto the Lord. So that means in Pentecost, what you offer is first fruit. Now, first fruit is not money. Amen.
Amen.
You're working,
your first salary is
first to the Lord. First salary of every month, of every year. No. Amen. 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 So what do you offer on Pentecost? Your first fruits. So that means it's to show a new beginning. Hallelujah. So Pentecost is a feast of new beginning. It's a feast of first fruits. You offer it to the Lord. And it's not money. It's not what? It's not what? Thank you. Look at numbers. Now you see. In fact, numbers. Numbers 28. Don't worry, we look at all these things all together in our New Year Eve service. All together. Numbers 28. Are you there? Are you with me? Verse 26. It says, also in the day of the first fruits, when you shall bring new meat offering unto the Lord, after your week be out. After your week be out, is it the 49 years? 7 weeks? 49 years? Then when they are out. Meaning he's talking about Pentecost. So the Pentecost, what will you bring to the Lord? You see that? So Pentecost is a feast of first fruits. Hallelujah. 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 Hope you are with me. And the feast is when you bring your first fruits to show service. We're going to see that. Deuteronomy 16 again. Get back to Deuteronomy 16. We're getting into the core of what I'm teaching you right now. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Deuteronomy 16, are you there? From verse 9. It says, 7 weeks shall be numbered unto thee. Is this the Pentecost? Is this the Pentecost? 7 weeks shall be numbered unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such a time as thou begast to put the sickle into the cup, that is Passover.
So
begin to count 7 weeks from the Passover. Remember that? The sickle into the cup, because it's in the Passover that you put the sickle into the cup. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You begin to count it from there.
Hallelujah. It says, and then thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with the tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God has blessed thee. So that means what you are giving to the Lord is what the Lord has given to you. How? I hope you are seeing that. What the Lord has blessed you with, that's what you are bringing to the Lord. Amen. So that means in Pentecost, what you are giving to the Lord is what He has given to you. When? We're going to see that. When He gave that to you. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me.
Glory to God.
Verse 11. He said, then thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. So that means an activity you will find in the Pentecost is what? Rejoicing. Hallelujah. That word rejoice is the word to merry. It's not, you don't come with an angry face. It's with a merry heart. Hallelujah. It's a feast unto the Lord. We will rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. Then thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt, that thou observe and do this statute. And thou observe and do this statute. Now he reminds them of the Passover. So that means the reason for the feast of the Pentecost is because of the Passover. That means whatever I'm bringing is what I've received in the Passover. We're going to see that again. Quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'll take back something. A very key note that we're going to take as we close is Leviticus again. Leviticus 23. Let's get back to Leviticus. From verses 3. From verses 4. Now, I'm going to take back some things I've said. Like, I will say it again. Then you'll see the essence of the Pentecost. Now, what I did before was to read Passover 7, Pentecost 7. Now, I want to read everything together. Now, you see. Amen. How the Passover goes into the Pentecost and what the Pentecost really is to us today. Are you ready? Okay. Leviticus 3. Hallelujah. Today, we are not waiting for a particular day called Pentecost. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you the glory of God. As I was telling you, these are the best days of my life. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are having our glory to God. Now let's just look at it. Let's look at this. Let me teach you well. Amen. For verses 4, it says, these are the feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons, in the 14th day of the first month. At even is the Lord's Passover. Did you see that? And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Right? Right? Okay? Verse 7. Watch this. In the fourth day, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no severe work therein. Now, verse 8. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. 7 days. In the 7 days, the holy convocation, ye shall do no severe work therein. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and said to them, when ye come into the land, watch it now. I need you to pay attention here. Verse 10.
Verse 10.
Amen. Then speak unto the children of Israel, and said to them, when ye be coming to the land, which I give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. Hallelujah. Watch what he says. He said, when you come into the land, which I give unto you, right? When you come into the land,
What will you get? What do you have there? What do you have in the land? Come on, speak. What do you have in the land?
And have it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, the land there is the new beginning. Right? Right? Is it the Passover? So the, in the Passover, is what you have is what? Harvest. Harvest of your first fruit. Glory to God. Hope you are seeing that. Hallelujah. So, in the Passover, what you receive is the Lord's first fruit. When they got into the land, they wouldn't have to start, they wouldn't have to walk. They will first of all enter into the land with a harvest, with a first fruit that the Lord gives to them. Do you see that? When they get into the land, what will they be? A first fruit. Hallelujah. Is the first fruit that they receive, is it their work that gave it to them? Is it their work? Is it their work?
No.
It's not the Lord. First now. Is it their work that gave them the first fruit? It's God that gave it to them. Hallelujah. It's God that gave it to them. So in the Passover, what man will receive is God's first fruit. So Paul will not put it like this in Romans. Put your hands in Leviticus and rush to Romans. In Romans, quickly, Romans chapter 8. Let's see what Paul calls that first fruit. Romans 8, verse 23. It says, and not only them, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. So what does Paul call the Spirit? And what does Paul call the first fruit? It's called the first fruit, the Spirit. Is that? So in the Lord's Passover, what do we receive? The Spirit. Now the Lord's Passover, is it the Lord's Day? Is it the Lord's Day?
Yes,
is the resurrection the Lord's Day?
Yes,
so in the Lord's Day, when you get into the land, what do you have? The Spirit. Now, I told you, I've taught you that the land is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what you receive is called the first fruit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 14, 1 verse 16. He says to them, he says, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but that have seen him, not know him, for you know him, but shall be with you, and he shall be in you, and shall dwell with you. Say, I will not leave you orphan, I will come to you. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, in the Lord's Day, in the Passover, what do we receive?
The Spirit of God.
It's called God's first fruit. Give it to God. You see, God's first fruit isn't money. So why is your first fruit money? God's first fruit isn't money. So why is your money? There's nothing wrong with giving in church. It's very divine. Any church that doesn't need money, they should bring it to me. I need it. Our church needs money. Amen. But that doesn't mean we don't do scripture anymore. Hallelujah. God's first fruit is the Spirit. Is what? What's God's first fruit to us? What's God's first fruit to us? When did we receive it? In the new birth, right? 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Back to Leviticus. Hope you can see that. Hallelujah. Back to Leviticus. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Leviticus quickly. 23. Again. Hallelujah. Now, look at Exodus
sorry. Put your hands there. Let's wash quickly the rest of it. So, now, a quick one. There's something I need to say. Now, Paul calls the first fruit the Spirit, right? Right? He calls it the Spirit. Now, so, what would you then offer in the Pentecost? Remember, we said Pentecost is the feast of new beginnings, the feast of the first fruit, right? Right? Come on, right? Right? So that means as you get God into the land, you receive of God's first fruit, right? So now do what? So now offer it in Pentecost. You see that? So what do you offer in Pentecost? God's first fruit in Sabbath. Did you see that? So who is lost on you when Jesus now says in Luke 24 by 39, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon." Say, "Tarry ye in the spirit of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Remember, I taught you, with power from on high means you take of what you have within upon. That word enduo. Endued is from the Greek word enduo. How you wear something. What belongs to you, you are putting it on. Amen. Like I walk up to my jacket, and then I pick it, and I put it on. It's called enduo. What belongs to you, not what belongs to someone. So what has God given to you? The Spirit. He now says, what Jesus is explaining is that you will take all the Spirit within and put it upon. Now the Spirit within is God's first fruit given to you, right? You are putting it upon. Hallelujah. You are putting it what? Upon. In service. Glory to God. That is, you'll be endued power from on high. So the on high is not from the sky. The on high is not from the planet. The on high is from within. The on high is from where God is seated. And seated in us. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. Look at Exodus 19. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Exodus 19. Verses 1. I will do a little calculation as I close. Exodus 19. Are you there? Look at verses 1. I say, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt. Third month, when did they leave Egypt? 15th day, right? In the month of Abib. Did you remember that in chapter 12? You remember in chapter 12? On the 14th day, then at even 15th day they left. Hallelujah. Amen. And I told you that became the month of Abib, the month of new beginnings, right? Right? Amen. In other words, 3 months. That was 50 days. Let's calculate it from the Jewish calendar. 30 days make a month. Right? In the third month, sorry. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out, in the third month. So they went out on the 15th day of the first month. Right? Right? So 30 days from then? Is where? The second month, right? 30 days, the 15th of the second month, 15 days of the second month, okay? Let's go ahead, another 15 days, that's what, 45, another 5 days, is that not the third month? So that was the same third month. So we can say in the Pentecost month, Exodus 19, is that not it? In the Pentecost month, right? 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 You must understand how they wrote. So, Exodus 19 is Pentecost. Hallelujah. Look at what happened in the Pentecost month, in verse 16. What did they have? And it shall come to pass, on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and thick clouds upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, and the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was all together on the smoke before, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Hallelujah. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of the furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Hallelujah. Compare that experience with Acts 2. That was similar experience. That was Pentecost experience. Hallelujah. That day in Pentecost, as we offer up, we have to take of what we have within upon. Hallelujah. We'll begin to have supernatural experience. Hallelujah. As we take it upon in tongues and interpretation, rejoicing in the flood of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We'll have experiences with the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 When you hear commentaries about Exodus 19, if you read Deuteronomy 4:11, 4:36, it says even Mount Sinai was moved. That means everybody has something to speak about that Pentecost. Hallelujah. So in the Pentecost, we'll take up the Spirit within of God. We'll have experiences with the Spirit of God. We have encounters with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For us today, we don't need to wait 50 days. No, we don't need to. We don't need to wait 50 days. They have to wait 50 days in Acts 2 because Jesus was to fulfill their law. Was to fulfill some of that seed. But we don't need to. That was why that became an instruction for us. Don't be drunk with wine, for be filled with the Holy Ghost. Question of the Spirit fire. Isn't that what happened? So that means we can live in it all the time. All the time. We don't need to wait for a particular day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. We have the first fruit of the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. So we can offer it every day. Every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So on Pentecost, what has happened is that the taking of the Spirit within upon. Upon. Hallelujah. That's what happened in Acts 2. There would have been a first responder. Hallelujah. Someone just flowed with the Spirit. Just flowed in the direction of the Spirit. And everybody joined. And then they had experience. They had worship and feeling. They had the right tongues of the fire. They had flowing tongues of the fire. The whole place was filled with the Holy Ghost. There were things to see. There were things to hear. There were visions. There were signs. There were sounds. Hallelujah. Just as they had it in Acts 19. Glory to God. But it takes someone to put it with it, to put it upon. To take the Spirit with it upon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
On the next section, I want you to teach us good, right? Because from the next section, we're having Holy Ghost services till tomorrow. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll just allow the Spirit flow.
As He leads us, we'll go. As He leads us, we'll go. Glory to God. We're having a mighty demonstration of the Spirit of God in this year. Mighty demonstration. Mighty demonstration. Mighty outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord in this day. Say, I know. I will see. I walk in the light of heaven. My eyes will see. My ears will hear. My mouth will speak. Yeah, in this place. In this room. In this place. Yeah, supernatural happening. I didn't say happening, I said happening. Supernatural happening.
Supernatural happening.
And I'm receiving them all.
I'm seeing them.
Yes.
Nothing passes me by. Nothing passes me by. In this place. In this place. Why not thank the Lord? Thank the Lord where you are. Just get your feet and thank the Lord. There are happenings everywhere. Supernatural happenings everywhere. Supernatural happenings everywhere. Everywhere, 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 everywhere.
That supernatural happening everywhere.